The time is 9:01 a.m., July 12, 2022, and I'm convening the video conference meeting of the Association Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. The meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meeting Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed will be used for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed, and I don't have the date. I have the old one.
Oh, July 1st.
July 1st, 2022, and published in the Texas Registry in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official meeting minutes of this meeting. A quorum is both as all three members of the committee are in attendance. Also in attendance are Board Counsel Shelby Betts, General Counsel Jackie Risen, Executive Director Bart Bose, Association Employees Jared Terry and Toppin Haggerty. And from the Texas Department of Insurance, we have John Peters, Brian Wee, and did I miss?
And Patty Otto.
Thank you. I had scratched your eye. Okay. I've lost something with my screen.
Can everyone see my screen that I'm sharing?
I'm seeing the Join a Live Zoom demo.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Hang on. The share kind of went crazy when I tried to choose it. How is that?
There you go.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Item one, consideration of possible action on consent agenda items, a summary of the official minutes of the January 11th, 2022 meeting. Has everyone had a chance to read the consent agenda?
I would move acceptance of the minutes.
Yeah, I wasn't part of it, so.
Okay, properly moved. And is that a second, Mr. Lewis?
Sure.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. All right, thank you. Okay, number two, consideration and possible action on the non-salary benefits provided to the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association employees, including insurance renewal plans. Bart, do you want to get us started on this?
Yes, I will. And I've given Chair Huckabee a little preview of this, but let me tell the committee. Normally, each July, the committee looks at the non-salary benefits provided to employees, and the largest component of that is, of course, the health insurance plans and the other insurance plans provided to employees. We had worked with our broker in prior years to shift the renewal date on those coverages so that we could obtain renewal quotes for the committee to review before we renew those coverages. When we began holding these video conference meetings, we scooted the committee meetings back instead of the day before the board meeting to 2 weeks prior. I did not think it was going to have an impact on obtaining the quotes, but it did. We have no renewal quotes in hand. And Topping has been working with the broker and was actually emailing with the broker and her assistant yesterday. We still don't have quotes from the companies. So what I'm going to provide to you is a summary of the coverages and what the quotes were in increase last year and what our current costs are. And you can decide then whether you want to have another committee meeting after we obtain the quotes or provide some type of provisional approval if the renewal rates are within a range. So let me walk through. Of course, what I'm gonna tell you, our cost is around, I have it here. For items one, two, three, and four, which is the health insurance plan, dental insurance, long-term disability, and then the term life AD&D. Our current costs are $42,807. The largest component of that is right here. $36,673 is the annual premium for our health insurance. The health insurance plan premium increase last year was 10.9%. For the dental insurance plan, you can see that that annual premium cost is only $1,705. Last year, the increase was 3.99%. And then for the term life, AD&D, and the long-term disability insurance, both of those coverages, there was no increase last year. The long-term disability has a cost of $1,967 a year, and the term life AD&D, $2,462. So our total insurance benefit plan cost for the association currently $42,807, with the health insurance plan being $36,672 of that. Would you like to talk a little about those premiums before I talk about any of the other benefits? Are there any questions on those insurance plan benefits?
Let me make an observation for the committee. As Boyd said, the health insurance, that premium, that represents 85% of the total package, which is $42,807. Toppin is quite sure we can we'll have the numbers before our next board meeting. But if we considered a 15%, just worst case, if we considered a 15% increase on top of the $42,807, that comes up to $6,421. Which is very minimum impact on the budget. So we could have to schedule another meeting, or we can come up with some range, whatever the committee think is reasonable. But just for sake of getting the discussion started, a 15% increase on that $42,807 would be $6,421. So we could, whatever percentage you guys feel comfortable with, or is your pleasure to schedule another meeting to address this once the rates are in.
Just leave it up to you and Bart to whether or not we need to schedule another meeting and otherwise give you the go ahead to represent us.
Well, I say if we decided a provisional some percentage, 15%, just for the sake of discussion, if the premium increases total package by less than $6,421, then it would be left up to the discretion of Bart and his team to we were basically giving them authority to move forward.
And James, could I ask for a little bit addition on that provisional? And first, I'll say your 15%, it sounds very reasonable. I'm hopeful that the renewal would come in under that.
Right.
But I think we also should say, so long as the health insurance plan is not terminated and a replacement plan offered, if that's the case, I think the committee should look at that. And it has happened in the past. Right. And when we get the renewal notice from, for example, Blue Cross Blue Shield, our current plan is no longer something they service, and they'll offer us a different plan. If there is a change in plan rather than just renewal, I think that should come back to the committee.
Okay, I agree with that. David?
Yeah, I'm on board with all that. The 15% is what with the proviso that if the plan changes, that we'll meet.
Jackie, let me ask you, governance-wise, this is kind of a direction from the committee. Should we have a resolution to reflect this?
Well, it probably wouldn't hurt to have one, Bart. I don't really think it's required, though.
So could we do something, Jackie, that the committee authorizes the executive director to renew the insurance plan so long as the rate increase, premium rate increase, is less than 15% and there is no change in plan coverages?
Well, I think part of this might be a timing issue, Bart, because wouldn't the board have to approve? I mean, the committee can recommend and then the board would have to approve, right?
Yeah, we should have the numbers at the board meeting, right?
We could have it by the board meeting.
And then if not, then I think we just deal with it at the board meeting, because I would imagine you're going to have more information by the board meeting than you have right now.
Okay. Well, the committee can then just authorize us to present the renewal rates to the board of directors at its next meeting.
Right.
And ask the board to consider the renewal, mm-hmm. because the rates are not yet available.
Yeah.
That's a pretty... That
makes sense. No action is going to need to be taken before the board meeting. And so...
Yeah, just say that the committee would review this with the board once the renewal rates are obtained. And that's what we'll put in the minutes, that there's no action taken, but the board... chose this direction. Or sorry, the committee chose committee. This direction.
Yeah.
Okay. You good with that, James?
Yes.
All right. I'll quickly summarize the remaining benefits here. The 401k plan matching investing schedule, nothing has changed there. It's the same matching that's done first. The Guaranty Association contributes a total of 7% if the employee contributes 6%, with the first 4% from the association being contributed irrespective of any contribution from the employee, right. And 3% after that being a 50% matching from the association. All the current employees are fully 100% vested. On the 457 retirement plan, we've talked about that. My contract for that provides for an $18,500 annual contribution each year. Any increase above that is discretionary right. by the board after recommendation from the personnel committee, and it is subject to the annual contribution limit permitted by the IRS. So the committee will look at that in January. The carryover of sick leave, vacation leave, and personal leave, we are back to, I'll call it, the pre-COVID era, even though we are still have COVID in existence. But the normal carryover is 40 hours of vacation leave at the end of the calendar year and unlimited sick leave. Personal leave cannot be carried over. Holidays, there are 12 paid holidays each calendar year for the association's employees. That's after the Martin Luther King holiday was added last year by the committee. The association provides parking for employees in our building. We also have a health reimbursement arrangement of $1,500 a year. Half of that, if is unused, can be carried over to the next calendar year, but the maximum that may be accrued is $4,500. Now, there are a couple of items not on the list I want to mention because employers today have kind of ramped up some of the benefits they're providing to their employees to entice and retain employees. One involves health clubs or exercise stipend. I'm not recommending that because our building, with our lease here, we do have a nice workout facility in the building that is free to all tenants. So I think if the committee was interested, I'd say we already have that covered, and we provide good facilities for employees here at the building. The other thing is personal cell phone use has stepped up in every office environment. The board members are very aware that with the board portal, there is an application we ask you to use for dual factor authentication, where you get a push notification before you can access the portal. We have that same push notification on access to all of our systems here to come into our firewall and even go into Azure servers. So, and recently I'll add, our building has added, instead of access cards, you can access all the various locked doors of the building after hours with a cell phone app. So I use the cell phone app, but Topping and Jarrett continue to use access cards. So personal cell phone use is coming into the business world quite a bit. Some companies provide a stipend for that, and it can range from $10 or $15 a month to, I think I've heard of one company provides even $100 a month to compensate their employees for having to use their personal cell phone to carry out their employer's activities. So I am not asking for that benefit to be added today. I'm just asking the committee to think about it, and I'm going to conduct some additional study to see if a stipend for cell phone use, that's personal cell phone use, might be warranted. Any thoughts on that? So, James, that's all I have on the non-salary benefits.
Okay. All right, report on filling the vacant staff position, number three.
Yeah, I'll report briefly on this, but Topping's going to have to fill in all the gaps because Topping is the lead person with the temp to perm firm we use. And she's been screening applications and interviewing people over the phone. We actually brought in one temporary employee for about a week and tried the skill set and the fit and just wasn't a good fit. So Topping, what would you like to add about the work you're doing with the temp agency trying to fill that position?
No, it's just difficult to find somebody. I don't need somebody who's perfect, but maybe touches on a few of the little things we have. So we know that they've answered phones a little bit. They may have dealt with a little bit of counting, even if it's just logging numbers for something. Just difficulty finding that. And they're having trouble because they'll have people ghost them where they'll get their resumes, they send them out, and then the person has found another job somewhere else and doesn't even get back to the temp agency. So we'll find somebody. It's just going to take a little while.
Okay. It's a tight market these days, and you all know that. It's difficult, and people are changing jobs a lot. Unemployment is low, but that doesn't tell you anything. There are people just changing jobs all the time. So the position remains vacant. Yes, Jim?
It may be that we just got lucky, but I encourage my employees to post job openings on their social media. And if they recommended somebody who got hired, we gave a bonus, and we give another bonus at 6 months if they're still there. And I got two employees within a month.
Wow.
So I'm not saying it could have just been dumb luck, but you might try it.
Well, we'll look at anything.
Yeah.
We definitely will. So Topping, please note that.
Okay.
And we'll continue to use all our efforts to try to fill this vacancy. That's all I have for this item.
Okay.
Chair Huckabee.
All right. Number four, consideration possible action on various elements of executive employment and deferred compensation contract for the executive director.
Let's begin with, there's no action for you to take today. This is just kind of set the stage and let you know an update every 6 months where we are. Of course, there'll be actions for you to consider come January 2023. But just report on a couple of things. I will say on the item about other employment and activities, I am not pursuing anything. There have been a couple of vacancies among Guaranty Association administrators in our community. And at one point, I was asked to interview for some of those to manage multiple Guaranty Associations. I'm not even going to submit anything in interview for. I'm to have no interest in doing that whatsoever anymore. And I'm not putting my name out there for any contract engagements right now. I have enough work with what we have going on and some of the engagements and things I'm chairing for NOLGA. So there are no other activities to report. I did want to take just a moment and update you on where things may stand in compensation. It's not just mine, but compensation for the association.
All right.
Where we are in today's economy with inflation, we use the Social Security Administration's cost of living adjustment. as an annual adjustment to my base, and that's in the contract every January.
Right.
And last year, that increase was 5.9. I put in the write-up here, the recent projections of possible 2023 cost of living adjustment, it could be 8.6. Let me update that. Looking yesterday, it seems that most of the those handing out these projections feel that the cost of living adjustment will not be less than 7% and could be as high as 11%. The cost of living adjustment is based on the consumer price index for July, August, and September, and then it is released in October. So it's just a warning that the cost of living, that adjustment for 2023 could be substantial this year. I do use the cost of living adjustment for the Social Security Administration to adjust the salary ranges for each position. And sometimes there are no change, a very slight change. It's been a significant change the last few years, but we'll have to monitor the inflation impact on the consumer price index for this month and the next two to see where that takes us for compensation changes for 2023.
Okay.
I'll also add on 457B, the same projection applies there. Current reports indicate that that number, which was a $20,500 maximum contribution for 2022, could increase to $22,000 for 2023. But anything above 18.5 is purely discretionary,
right,
by the board based on any recommendation from the personnel committee. And so the last thing is this longevity incentive payment that will not come up until 2023.
Right.
So that would, there's nothing there for you to take action on. So this is just to update you where things stand in my contract and also how some of that applies to the overall compensation for the association.
Okay. Good. All right, consideration of possible action on revisions to succession plans.
Yes, this is a follow-up on a suggestion from the committee. I believe the committee asked that I look at our succession plans. And so I am not providing you with a revised succession plan today. I'm asking for some guidance. And let me explain. What I put in your materials is what we have currently in our business continuity plan regarding succession plan for the association. And it is rather limited. It talks about should the executive ever become unable to perform duties due to planned or unplanned short-term, long-term, or permanent absence. So it only talks about replacing my position, although we do call it succession plan for key positions. So one of the questions is, should we expand it beyond my position to other positions within the association? And when you talk about key positions, there's only three of us. We're all fairly key. So that's one thing for you to consider today. After that, there are some options, and I'll limit this back to my position in succession planning. There are some processes and options laid out in our current plan, but it may not go as far as it should. Should we consider having a more focused arrangement with an individual? And that individual could even be someone on staff. It could be our general counsel. It could be a number of different options. But rather than just a broad-based exploration, it could be more focused. And that focus may be only for an interim basis.
Mm-hmm.
I will add to that, and this has come up in other associations, and I was asked to provide this to a couple of associations. Some associations have done an interim services agreement with an individual to have them available if the executive director for some reason is unavailable, short-term, long-term, planned or unplanned, to step in on an interim basis until a permanent resolution has been developed. And so those some associations have contracts with individuals out there. So if something happens, they can step right in. And in doing that, they have information. They know how the organization is structured, where their records are, what their bank account looks like. They may have authority to step in real quick with signature authority. They know the board, things like that. So in addition to, and I'll run through them again, should the succession plan be expanded beyond me? Should it focus on identifying a specific individual or individuals that can provide interim and possibly permanent filling of my vacancy? And the third thing, should the association pursue developing a contract and have a contract in place where there's someone already ready to step in if for some reason I'm unable to perform my duties? I'll let the committee talk about that.
Question. I definitely personally would be interested in looking at sample contract arrangement that another association has with an individual, and to maybe take that up at a later committee meeting. But definitely your position to look at that. As far as going below your position, if you're still confident in which you are, and running the organization, there might be some other things that we look at with Toppin and Jerry's position, but definitely I would think it would be prudent for us to look at what those contract arrangements, some samples of those from other associations. David, any thought, or Jim?
I'm not sure we need a contract. I think between Jackie and Jarrett and Topping, I think things could be handled till we hired somebody. Just my opinion.
Do you think that's realistic? The folks we have now could get by until a hire could be made?
Well, let me fill in a gap here. Jarrett, 14 years with the association?
I stopped counting a long time ago. That sounds right.
Okay. And I think Topping, you just finished either 12 or 13.
I think it's 13.
13. And then Jackie, maybe I shouldn't say, you're 30 years. You and I have worked together 30 years.
Not quite 30 years, Bart, although it might seem that way sometimes.
Pretty close. So I say that because that's a lot of experience and exposure to how the association is operated and the structure. Do any one of them see it all? I think they've touched on most of it, but could any one of them see all the components of it? There may be a few gaps, but not many. I think between the three of them, or any combination of a couple of them, the association can continue to operate. And this is not me patting myself on my back. It's this team has put a lot of effort into it. We've documented a lot of what we do. And there are a lot of tools out there for what are the things that we need to take care of on a regular basis? What's the schedule? Who needs to be involved? And what are the tools we use to carry out those functions? So we're not going to be scrambling in the dark if for some reason I'm unavailable to do my job. Does that answer your question, David?
Yes.
Here's a comment. And Bartis, you mentioned some associations have put in place a short-term engagement with an individual. And I do feel confident that we have the people, should something happen to you temporarily, that we can move forward. But then what was the primary reason that the associations, and I don't know whether it's 5 or 10, that took the additional step to put a short term, to execute a short term engagement just to have it just in case. That phone call that maybe comes to Chair Lewis and says, well, you know, heaven forbid, but this has happened to Boyd.
Then I think I can answer that pretty easily. A lot of the gearing associations have one person.
Okay.
The executive director does everything.
With some contract support. They may have an accounting firm out there or accounting person that does something or financial side, but it's a one-person shop.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if that person's gone, they need another person. And that's why they do this interim agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have people as talented and smart as Jackie, Jarrett, Topping, Shelby backing up.
Right.
Well, in James, the Texas Association has always been called a large association. And that's kind of strange because we're three people.
Yeah.
Now, at one point, the association was 27 employees. But that was many years ago. And with the outsourcing we do and the lean and mean focus to operations, three is still somewhat large in the Life Health Guarantee Association community. Most are one person or one person and a part-timer or one person in contracts.
Okay. All righty. That answers my question. Thank you.
So with that refinement that a contractual arrangement is probably not necessary, would you like me to study further and come back to you with any thoughts on adding to our succession planning in the business continuity plan to talk about other positions? And I say that it's not just employees. We have key vendors, and Jackie, I'll call you out. Jackie has been counsel for the association for many years. She knows receivership law. She knows guarantee association operations. She knows coverage. She knows how we do things.
Right.
If Jackie, for some reason, is unavailable, we can't just hire an attorney off the street. Really can't.
And I suspect you know a number of attorneys through the guarantee association, through NOGA, that you could bring in easily.
And that very thought probably should be mentioned in our business continuity plan under succession planning.
Right.
And it's just not in there right now. And I would like to refine it just a little bit to say we've at least thought about that aspect and here's the way we want to handle it.
Yeah.
Hey, Bart, are you able to prepare a financial statement if Jarrett was in the hospital or something and it needed to be done?
That's going to be tricky because Jarrett and I, through segregation, I don't have all the passwords and access. We need to do some planning on that, Jim.
Yeah,
the passwords and access that, you can probably figure out a way to handle that through your tech company.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, can you do the accounting side of it if you had access to the software and everything?
Right now, I can't answer that question. I do know where Jarrett has his notes and his tools of what he uses to develop them. But have I sat down and walked through his processes to go through his closing procedures? No. And I should do that. I think that's a valid point.
To me, I have a small company and we work 20 people, but it's still small. There's a difference between succession planning and cross training.
Mm-hmm.
And I think cross training is, if you have someone who has the ability to do it, but they just haven't been cross-trained on it, that's different than having nobody with the ability to do it. For instance, if I had one accountant, I wouldn't be able to prepare a financial statement, but I have three of them. So we're cross-trained and we're okay. That's why I was really asking Bart if, it sounds like basically the issue would be the cross-training. I guess what I'm asking is, if you had the cross-training, would you be able to prepare it in his absence? Do you have, I'm assuming you have enough accounting background is what I'm really heading at.
I tell you, I have the accounting training, but it's been years.
Okay.
And to answer that question, I would need to sit down and go through some of the month-end prep and the financial statement preparation with Jarrett just to become versed in it again.
Well, that would also
be more, that might be more important than succession planning. It's just some cross-training between the three of you. So if one of you is out for a month, that stuff could still get done.
I think another
our segregation of duties and issues of having, you know, Bart having access and knowing how to do a lot of the things that that I do, it might be more beneficial to look at, and this is what a lot of companies do, you would go to an accounting firm. You go to our auditors and actually ask them to step in and handle it in the interim until you could have someone to replace me and train them.
Well, I understand the segregation of duties, Jarrett, but Jim makes a point. Mm-hmm. You could still have segregation of duties, but I could still be cross-trained to understand fully what you do. That way, if we were to bring in an outside accounting firm, I could ensure that they're doing it properly. So just me doing the cross-training and being able to prepare the financials doesn't violate the segregation of duties.
I think that's right, Bart. And one other thing I would mention too is this is probably a good time to take a look at the policies and procedures for various things so that if there are any gaps in that would be helpful to be completed for somebody. Like for me, I'm not going to be able to ever, you know, prepare a financial statement, but somebody who has the accounting background, if they can, you know where or see what Jarrett's process is and whatever, then it would make sense to them and they would know what to do.
Okay. And Jackie, one of the things we're doing is redrafting the policy procedure manual right now in the new format, but we rely heavily on the critical functions report to point us toward those tools you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So it's the combination, policy procedures, critical functions, and the tools identified there. It's like Jarrett has a month-end close checklist mm-hmm. of things mm-hmm. to do and where mm-hmm. certain spreadsheets are and other GL items. So I think that's important. If I could, I will begin a cross-training review and some of this documentation, because Jim Lewis makes a good point.
So
cross-training versus succession, it's a different thing.
I can add one other thing, and that's a lot of the password type stuff. But let's just say that I got hit by a truck and was in the hospital. There's between my tech support company and one of my office manager, they have the ability to change the password on my email account to one they know and go request new passwords from most of the websites that I use and, you know, log into the things that they need to. And then there's other people, like with our accounting software, there's someone who's an administrator. There's more than one administrator. So if for some reason we needed one of my other accountants to take over a key role temporarily, we have the ability to assign them the ability to do it. And so that's one thing you can check into is make sure that you have at least the contact information with software providers to where, because we've encountered this. If I'm out for 2 weeks and there's a problem with our fiber optics, there has to be someone other than me that can call in and deal with it. And the same is true with our accounting software and that kind of thing. So that's something you ought to check into and make sure that that's covered.
Yeah, I think that's going to boil down to we need duplicate administrator rights.
We're already there. We're already there. Okay. All of our
Also, with LastPass, Jarrett, there's a way in LastPass that an administrator can control and, if necessary, have access to everyone's password. So they're just maintained. And we already have LastPass accounts set up for everyone.
Okay. All of our accounting and financial applications already have two administrators. It's me and either Bart or Topping. So we're already set up that way.
Good.
Now, I think, Jim, what we'll do is just make sure we go through and tick and tie and do a review to make sure on every account that we haven't skipped one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not implying that you haven't taken care of it. I'm just saying that between cross-training and then authority with your vendors, that's, you know, kind of disaster recovery if somebody's out sick.
Right. Got it.
Hey.
Okay, that's good direction. Let me follow up on those and just report back at a future meeting, Chair Huckabee.
All right, number six, I believe we are.
Okay.
Consideration of possible action on Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association management and staff training during 2022. Okay.
Yeah. The training has a little different focus this year. As you can see, we're just going through that list. I do a lot of training on long-term care issues right now. Just you think of the long-term care community hasn't changed, but it changed every day. There's new cases being litigated. There's new regulations coming down from the insurance departments out there. And it's just, with as much as we have going on in the long-term care community right now, I try to stay current on what's happening. I gave a presentation in Santa Fe on long-term care. I'll be doing one in October in Oklahoma City on long-term care, a little bit different. We'll be using some hypothetical case studies there to kind of hammer home some of the key principles that cause some of the disputes in long-term care. In addition, long-term care, cybersecurity is, of course, a hot button issue. I was just in Nashville 2 weeks ago for an IT summit that the National Conference of Insurance Guarantee Funds, that's the PNC counterpart to NOLGA, sponsored. The NCIGF and the PNC Guarantee Funds deal with a lot of data, and they have some good practices. But they also had a breach recently, a pretty significant one. So it was good to attend their conference and hear how things happened, how they dealt with it, and what are the tools and techniques they're implementing. So IT security is a big issue this year. Jarrett is involved in he's done some graduate work in accounting, but he's also doing the CPA review course right now. He's knee deep in that, and that he does a lot of accounting review. Jarrett and I will both be attending the legal seminar at the end of this month, as will Shelby and Jackie. Jim, I didn't see. Are you going to be attending?
No, not right now.
Okay. But it's a good seminar and workshop, but it's going to work on a lot of the principles. This one will be a desktop exercise on insolvency and guarantee association work. And it's really intended to educate some of the new administrators on what we do and how do we do it and case studies they can try things. Then I'll mention here, Topping is knee deep on, she's doing a redesign of our website right now with designers from GoDaddy. And because of that, she has to stay current on all the website maintenance and design and control. She also took the lead and developed everything on our portal. for disseminating information to the board of directors. So she did a lot of training on that. And then Jarrett, of course, has to stay current on some of the reporting. That 1099 reporting is very important, although our 1099 volume is significantly down because of the way we handle our transactions and outsourcing. So Jarrett or Topping, anything else on training that I glossed over that you would like to comment?
Not that I can.
Nothing.
Okay. One of the things, Chair Huckabee, that we do, even in a small office, is periodically, and maybe it's more important in a small office because you tend to operate almost like a family when you've been together this long, is sexual harassment and workplace harassment training. We like to do that periodically. I was hoping to postpone that until we had that position filled so you could cover all the employees. Irrespective of whether we get that position filled or not, I'll let you know that that harassment training, I will explore finding a firm to conduct that for us or online. And I intend to have that on the calendar for 2023. And then I'll take any feedback or comments that the committee may have on training you think we should pursue or training that might be advantageous.
I think we've covered everything. I know we had talked about the sexual harassment, I believe, back maybe January this time last year. But thank you guys for doing the appropriate training that's needed at this time. So,
okay.
All right. Number seven, consideration of possible action regarding the committee's charter.
So, Chair Huckabee, the committee has not adjusted its calendar, its charter since 2018. And then it was just some timing on my evaluation of when it would be done each year.
Right.
So the charter was included in your materials. And I'll leave it to you if you feel there's anything there that should be amended in any way.
I personally don't have any adjustments that I'd like to suggest, but David, Jim, if you had a chance to look at the charter and see if there's anything we need to address.
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
All right. I think that covers that.
And we have an executive session on the agenda. I will tell you right now, I do not have anything to present in executive session. I have not checked with counsel. Counsel, do you have anything you'd like to present to the committee?
I don't, Bart.
So James, let's just let you know, we don't have anything for executive session. It's up to you if you still want to hold one. Committee.
I do not have anything. David or Jim, do you have any?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, hearing none, we will move forward to number 10.
So including the materials, we always give you a calendar of activities, and I'll just go to that. It just shows, it's an excerpt from the master calendar of the various things that impact the committee, and with some of the work that's already been completed, we'll fill in dates and things like today we're doing today and what's coming up the rest of the year.
There really no meetings after July?
No, the committee doesn't meet again until January.
Oh, this is just our committee.
Okay. Just this committee.
Yes, sir.
So I saw the board of directors.
Items are the reference number, item 3552. There's a lot of other items in here on the master calendar. This is just for the personnel committee.
Okay.
But what's important to show you is this targeted date we put in right here. Sorry. And I mentioned it right here, January 10th, 2023. And I'll go back. That is the tentative date for the next meeting of the committee.
Okay.
And that is a Tuesday and is exactly 2 weeks before the scheduled board of directors meeting.
Bebe Letswine, and we won't be waiting on any type of renewal information that we will need to address at that time. So looks good to me, Jim, David.
think it should be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And are we anything? Yes, that's the last item on the agenda. Any other items that we have not?
Nope.
We.
I froze. So did we do the time?
No, Jim, if you'll have the language to read to close the meeting.
I do. All right. Are we ready to type it?
Yes.
Okay. The time is 9:51 a.m. on July 12, 2022, and the meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.